This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, I tell you, he hasn't missed a beat, dude. We give him a week off, Hammer, and he comes back and he's feisty.
Guns a-blazing.
Ron Shera's in studio after last week. We gave him a week off at Camp Fish, Camp Lassard. What was that?
It was Bob Lassard's fishing camp. One more time, they've asked me to come up there and do a job on the walleyes to demonstrate my fishing skills and savvy and strategies and stuff like that.
What really happened? No. So give me a day. How many people are there, and what's a day like when you're up there?
Well, Bob has he's had a commercial, not commercial, but a fishing camp that people go to for a heck of a long time. I mean, he was a young man when he was up in that neck of the woods. It's just a short float plane ride. It's roadless, just east of Fort Frances, so you're just across the border from International Falls.
So you're in Canada.
Yeah, you're in Canada. It's called Trout Lake, although it has another big long name that's about the size of or length of a 2x4, but lots of walleye, and 10 years ago or so, smallmouth bass accidentally got in there when a dam flooded, or beaver dam got flooded and broke, and let the smallmouth in. And so now they are some really nice smallmouth.
Plus, that worked out well. That was a godsend.
Yeah, but a lot of people were afraid that the smallmouth were going to eat all the walleyes, which we know now is kind of silly. But
didn't happen.
Didn't happen or hasn't happened and won't happen, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, then there's lake trout in this lake as well. So Bob invited me up there, and it was a chance for me to invite my brother Roger from Rapid City and my sister Deanne, who nephew Travis, who had never been to Canada. So it was quite a trip for them and
really?
For me. Yeah. The only downside, we had a lot of wind last week, but otherwise the fishing was pretty good.
So on a typical that you get up, you have breakfast together. What happens?
No, you get up and you go fishing first. So maybe you're out on the water at 7 and you fish till 10 and then you come in and Brett Lassard, Bob's son, prepares a nice breakfast of bacon and eggs and toast and coffee and you know,
a little brunch, huh?
Then when you're Bob's age, you have to take a little nap after that.
A little nappy, yeah.
And then you go out again in the afternoon and fish until your heart's content. And usually, we had 2 evenings of fried walleye done Lassard way, which is kind of like a beer batter, and very, very good. You know, any time you have fish on the plate that was swimming just hours ago, you just can't beat them.
It's pretty fresh.
And then we had we caught some lake trout, and Bob agreed to smoke them. He has an electric smoker up there, but he's been smoking fish for 100 years, and let me tell you, he knows how to do it. So we had some of that.
How long does it take to smoke a fish up there?
Oh, it takes, we brined them for 6 hours or so, and then smoked them for about 6 hours. I think I wasn't paying too much attention to the recipe, but he knows when they're ready and when they're not. So,
then at night what?
Night there's no TV. I think they did. I left my iPhone back in the car back in Fort Frances. I didn't have my iPhone up there. And
what is that?
That's a turkey calling. You hear that? Yeah, this turkey season's over. What are you doing?
I'm just showing you. I'm illustrating that you haven't turned off your phone, so I just called your phone.
Well, that's very bright of you.
Yeah. And I wanted people to hear what your ringtone is.
Well, that's very clever, I think.
I think that is clever of me to think of that.
What's your ringtone?
Knowing it was, whatever.
Bum, ba-bum, bum. Mike Max.
It's a little high school fight song. It Another, brings me back to that time when I'd take the field, cheerleaders adoring me, all those, when memories you, come back every time it rings.
I think it's a fight in the locker room is what you had. Yeah. Well.
So you, do y'all sit around and tell tales around the campfire at night then? Or?
Well, it was we had a mosquitoes keep you inside. At
even
night.
Even then, huh?
Oh, yeah. That was just last week, bud.
Yeah, I thought it was a little early for them in Canada.
What planet are you on? They've been out for a month up there.
I haven't been.
Black flies, buddy.
Did you see a bear?
Did not see a bear, although they've had them there. Didn't see a deer. Did see two moose driving up south of Big Falls, Minnesota. South of there, quite a ways. I was surprised. There were a cow, moose, and a calf standing on the road. On the highway, and they sauntered off. But the calf was not new. It was the last year's calf. But that was kind of cool to see. And that far south of Minnesota, which is a good thing.
You know, here's a question out of the blue, but I ran into it yesterday. We're driving home, and there's a – this is in the suburbs. There is a deer that's been hit and is dead, and it's in the middle of someone's lawn on this hot day yesterday. The flies are gathering around, and obviously it made it just, you know, it got hit and died
got that
you know,
far.
40 feet away. You know, normally we don't see it because it ends up in the woods, you know, but this happened to be in residential, so it's right in the middle of the lawn, not far from the sandbox and the basketball court. Who do you call?
Well, I thought you would have stopped and picked it up as a – you know, Good Samaritan thing.
Yeah, plus I need some food.
You wouldn't even have to age it.
This was a big doe.
Yeah, well, you know, you could
just call the police, or what do you do?
You could call the police, you could call the DNR, conservation officers.
How about animal control?
I don't think the animal control would do it. I'm not sure today who picks up the critters, but I think in some cases they hire a service that does this.
Okay.
But you can't call them. You've got to call. I would call the Minneapolis police or the police department, the local department.
I'm thinking to myself, you know, because it was so warm and the flies were gathering.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, this could be somebody that's not even home today.
Right.
And so nobody knows what to do, you know.
Well, they'll know when they get downwind.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hey, DNR made a kind of an announcement last few days. They are considering, Maxie, changing fishing regulations for Lake of the Woods for walleye and sauger next
year. Yeah,
what
do you think of that?
Well, that surprised me and didn't surprise me. I have to admit, the last few years I've been up to Lake of the Woods and I've watched great fishing. The charter boats every day bringing back a dozen, two dozen walleyes every day. Now, Lake of the Woods is a marvelous fishery, tremendous production of walleye, but you say to yourself, wow, you know, are we taking too many?
Yeah.
It's probably a dumb question because you can't really judge that on what you see. But it's something you think about.
Yep.
Well, then lo and behold, here comes the DNR saying apparently there is some concern about the amount of fish harvest going on up there, especially in the winter time. So they are suggesting that to reduce the number of walleye and sauger allowed to be kept in the winter. And also on the Rainy River, which gets so popular in the late spring, where the walleyes are in there by the cajillions and people are catching them, that they would only allow catch and release walleye fishing on the river in the spring. And they're going to have some public hearings and whatever on that. And but if they decide to go that route, it will happen next year. Okay. So
well, you'd be thrilled just to catch one, let alone release it.
I'm always thrilled to just catch one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are you laughing about?
Well,
you thought you were embarrassing
me. Some of these things are not applicable to you. I mean, you're talking about too many fish being harvested, things like that.
That's personally right. I'm not a threat.
Tell them what we got coming up, Ron.
Hey, we got hopefully we can get Brian Robeson later to talk about his big little fun bass tournament fundraiser for Canines for Cops.
Yep.
That's a fundraiser that he started years ago. But we're also going to talk to Ravens veterinarian Doc Epping about Lyme disease in dogs. So Doc Epping will be joining us. And then in the last half hour, a tackle box I ran into that is the most unique, different invention I've ever seen, and it was done by a guy from Wisconsin, Glenn Walker. He's going to join us, and we're going to talk about this unique tackle box. I don't even know if there are
nudie cards in there again.
I don't even know if they're available in the stores.
Take a break. Come back. All live outdoors. Let's bring in to the conversation Ron's personal doctor. Dr. Epping.
Some truth to that. Dr. Nerve
Epping. You treat all the animals, right?
Oh, yes.
Doc is Raven's vet, and once in a while he fixes me up, too, usually with a cocktail, but other than that.
He makes the pain go away, though, point. Yeah,
absolutely, he does. Doc Epping, thanks for joining us this evening.
A pleasure. I'm sitting here looking out on hole number 3 on TPC. And wondering how in the heck are they going to improve this course to make it tough for pros?
Well, you
and I can break 90.
Yeah, we just had you know what, Doc? We just had Hollis Kavner on, and I asked him that same question, and they're going to push one of the tee boxes into the lake there, make a little island out of it, and extend it that way. So I don't know what your property boundaries are, but you might be in a position to negotiate a little bit. You know, if you allow them a sand trap in your backyard, you know.
I might have a lake in the front of my pool.
Yeah, there you go.
My goodness.
Sounds awesome. Sounds awesome. Doc, we wanted to talk with you about, there's lots of news about Lyme's disease in people. You don't hear a lot about Lyme's disease in dogs, but it's my understanding, and I think I've heard stories, dogs can get Lyme disease. Is that right?
Ron, I started diagnosing Lyme disease in dogs probably late 70s, early 80s.
Really?
And yes, dogs do get Lyme disease. It's a very frequent thing that we see every day in our practices.
Is it, does it make a dog,
Same symptoms as people?
Yeah. What?
No, the symptoms, the symptoms are similar in that, first of all, let's go back 2 years ago, I had Lyme disease. You feel just crappy, like a truck hit you. You can't move. You have a fever. Dogs experience the same thing. They are stiff. They're sore. They're lethargic. They don't want to eat. They're like they're walking on eggshells. That's a classic symptom of Lyme disease in dogs.
Is it a fatal condition?
Very rarely is it ever fatal.
Do they recover from it?
Oh, yes. If you catch it early enough in the early stages and put them on a drug called doxycycline, most dogs recover within, you're going to know. Most people call back the next day and say, Doc, my dog is normal.
Really?
After being on the medication.
Well, you wonder, though, how many times it's misdiagnosed or owners aren't aware of that that's a possibility.
Oh, they are, because in a lot of cases, Mike, the dog is limpy, gimpy for 2 or 3 days, then it gets better. Okay. Then 2 weeks down the road, it gets gimpy again. That's the serious part.
Yep.
Because 2 years down the road, or not 2 years, 2 weeks down the road, you can still treat them, but the likelihood of them developing what we call Lyme nephritis, or that's a term for the kidneys, where the bacteria kind of destroy the kidney function. That can happen. But in 90% of the cases, it is treatable if it's caught early enough.
What about preventing Lyme disease in your dogs in the first place?
I am a total advocate for vaccination. Now, if you talk to 50 veterinarians, half of them are going to say, it doesn't do any good. Well, I vaccinated thousands and thousands of dogs throughout my career, and I can count on probably both hands the number of dogs that came down with Lyme disease if they were vaccinated and kept up with their yearly vaccination. It does prevent it. Also, prevent ticks. There are so many good preventatives for ticks out there, like NexGard or Frontline or whatever.
Yeah, I fed Raven NexGard. I thought that would, does that kill the tick if the tick gets in the dog?
Okay, the dog or the tick has to bite the dog, and then it's going to die. Now, the tick that transmits Lyme disease to a dog has to be on the dog for 36 hours. The preventative is going to prevent that, or going to cause the tick to fall off in about 12 hours. So,
okay.
That's how it prevents it, huh?
Huh?
I didn't know, that's how it prevents it. I thought it was, I just thought it couldn't insert itself into a dog, but obviously it does. But if it's not there 36 hours, it doesn't matter, huh?
No, it doesn't matter. If you see it, you know, if you're given a preventative and you see a tick on your dog, don't panic. You know, it's going to fall off in probably 12 to 18 hours.
Well, Doc, I have to ask you this. You like vaccinations over like preventatives like NexGard. Why would...
No, both.
Oh, both?
Both, okay. Yes. I mean, no vaccine is 100% effective. As you know, just like the flu vaccine.
Right.
You know, they're going to keep you from, you know, all of us from getting the flu. But it is, in my experience, and all the veterinarians in our two practices, they're advocates of let's vaccinate and prevent it. That's the best. That and using a tick preventative is great.
Well, there you go. Maxie,
this is good stuff, man. I just learned a lot in 5 minutes.
Well,
you know,
a lot
more than I got to sit and listen to Ron tell me tales from his camps. You know,
do you have a vaccination for Maxie here?
Okay. Do you have one other thing or one other minute?
Sure.
Yeah.
The disturbing thing is that only 10 to 15% of the dogs that are infected with Lyme disease show symptoms.
Oh.
And they claim that 10 to 15% of the people that have been exposed to Lyme disease show symptoms.
So then it doesn't matter that you're carrying it, really, does it?
Well, no. The point is, I think Lyme disease in humans is probably the number one misdiagnosed disease because 10 years down the road, it can affect your heart, your kidneys, your liver. A lot of different problems can occur. So, I'm just throwing that out.
Doc, thank you for joining us this evening. We are going to run out of time on this segment, but appreciate
That's
your
a good segment. Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate your advice, everybody.
Good. Mike, next time, senior citizen discount from you for lunch.
No problem. It helps keep defray the costs.
Okay.
Take a break. Come back. Stay with us. Welcome back, Live Outdoors. We bring outdoors and sports together in one interview here. Brian Robison just hosted his another successful fishing tournament. He's on his way down to Texas for the off season. He joins us now. B-Rob, thank you for giving us some time tonight.
Yeah, no problem, man. It's not like I have anything better to do.
Where are you now? You in Kansas or where are you? Oklahoma?
Oh, no. I just crossed over into Texas a while ago. I've been on the road for about 14 hours. So.
Oh, boy.
Well, Brian, thanks for joining us. I was privileged to join your fundraiser for Canines for Cops this past weekend in the big community of Wabasha, Minnesota. Huge success there. And first off, I wanted to have you tell Mike Max what a wonderful bass fisherman I am. Can you do that?
Do you have any proof of that, Brian?
Well, I would say that, but somebody brought a catfish in their bag to stage, so...
A catfish?
I don't know if I can. Yeah, you know, somebody tried to weigh in a catfish, but.
Oh, God. Ron, you think you're going to fool him, Ron?
Ron and Laura held their own, man. They had a pretty good bag of fish, and it was, that's saying a lot because it was pretty tough fishing.
Yes, it was. Brian, how much do you have any idea how many dollars were raised Friday night and Saturday by the good folks from Wabasha?
We don't have an exact count. Right now, we were trying to punch some numbers last night. Of course, we were just sitting around just talking, and I'm pretty sure before expenses, we're going to be probably a little over the $60,000 mark. Like I said, that's just kind of a roundabout number, but we did really well this weekend.
Well, that's amazing. Tell me how did you, I mean, you know, a lot of pro athletes will start fundraisers or foundations. How did you end up choosing that goal, canines for cops? What prompted that?
Well, actually, it was my wife. My wife runs a barrel race down here in Texas called Diamonds and Dirt, and the people who put it on actually is Christy Schiller, who is the founder of Canines for Cops. So she saw a dog demonstration there at the Diamonds and Dirt barrel race and brought it to my attention when we were looking for a charity for our foundation. And we talked to them actually the day before a preseason game. We were playing the Tennessee Titans, and I talked to them. And we talked to them for about 45 minutes, but within the first 15 minutes, I knew that was the organization that I wanted to be involved with. Just everything they were saying clicked with what I wanted to do, and they had the same passions that I had. And we, you know, me and my wife are animal lovers, and my dad was a police officer for 29 years. My wife's brother works in the Houston Fire Department, so we have people that are first responders, and we just thought that was a great way to be able to give back to our communities, not only on a local level, but a state level and a national level as well.
Well, it's interesting. Now, the money raised in Wabasha, as my understanding, will stay in Minnesota to acquire and train canines for cops?
Correct. What we do is what we raise in Minnesota goes back towards the departments in Minnesota, and the money we raise in Texas goes towards the departments in Texas. So as of right now, I think we have a couple of dogs in the St. Paul Police Department. I know we have two in the Goodhue County Sheriff's Office. So we've been giving back there the last 2 years and putting some good dogs out there.
Well, you had great support there. Randy Moss was there.
Yeah, how'd you get Moss to come on up, B-Rob?
Man, honestly, I just messaged him on social media. He ended up getting back to me, and I never thought it would even happen. And so, you know, he went back and he said, I'll have to check my schedule. I thought that was kind of the blow-off deal. And then he went back, checked the schedule. He ended up messaging me back, said, I'm in. Huh. Let me know the details. I mean, it was pretty easy.
That was interesting. Of course, he got almost the high bid for the day. I think some folks spent $7,000 to fish with him and a Bass Pro guy for a few hours. You also raised a lot of money, but then you threw in a airplane flights and free Texas bass fishing trips and everything. I said, well, that's kind of unfair, you know.
Hey, when you're the guy running the show, you can do what you want.
Well, plus
doesn't Ron know, man? He's made a living doing just that for years.
Exactly. Plus you're bigger than I am, so.
Hey, B-Rod, I got to ask you one thing. You mentioned your wife in the barrel. Your wife it rides competitively in rodeos. And it has been for years. Is she on the circuit right now?
She actually flew home this morning, and she actually just texted me a while ago. She's heading out on the road. She's actually on her way out to Reno, Nevada. So she starts her road trip today. She'll be out on the road for about 2 months.
Wow.
Wow, that's right. Well, hey, Brian, thank you for joining us. Congrats again on a success, and thank you for inviting my daughter Laura and me to participate. It was a lot of fun, and we caught some bass, so you can't beat that.
Not at all, and thank you guys for coming out.
Thanks, B-Rob. We'll see you soon.
All right, thank you, guys.
Brian Robinson. Boy, he's really putting feet to fire there. He's doing it and doing it right.
Yeah, you know, he's a great guy. I've known him for quite a few years, mostly not like you would know him, but from a standpoint of a player interview kind of thing, but as a fisherman. So yeah. It was fun to help him, and he reached out to...
You tried to sneak a catfish in there, huh?
I didn't sneak it in. I brought it in, yeah. Well, get the people... This channel cat was no smallie either. He hit a Rapala crankbait I was throwing. I thought I had the river's largest smallmouth on.
Yep.
And because it really put up a fight until it came to the top, and then I realized I had this channel cat. So I got him in and got the hooks out, which is not easy in a channel cat. They can lock their jaws like you wouldn't believe.
Sure.
And how do you know? You've never caught a channel
I'm
cat.
I'm disagreeing with you. Why do you get upset when I agree with you?
I'm not upset. I just find it. Anyway, moving right along.
I noodle for them. I don't bother that.
Yeah, you noodle. Anyway, so I thought, well, I'm going to bring it in and let the folks see. But, you know, everybody kind of turns their nose up at catfish and right. Bullheads. Let me tell you, a channel cat is as gamey a fish as you want. I mean, it hit that crankbait like bam, just
for
like
sure,
that.
I'm not surprised.
So, yeah.
In June, you get that reaction a lot from them.
Yeah. Yeah, you, the big cat, big catfish expert.
Let's move on to our next guest, Rod.
Yeah. We have a gentleman from Wisconsin, Glenn Walker. Are you there, Glenn?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thanks for joining us. I was telling Maxie off the air that a few weeks ago I was perusing some fishing, you know, new product stuff, blah blah blah, and I saw this Lurelock tackle box with you know, kind of an unusual description, and I said, "Holy cow!" You know, tackle boxes rarely get much change in how they're put together, but this one has a material on the bottom of the tray that kind of holds the lure without making it sticky. Is that a good description, Glenn?
Not to get too technical.
Nope. That's pretty, hit the nail on the head there. And kind of the, you know, since we're obviously on the radio here, the best way to describe it for the listeners is for anyone that has kids or back when they were kids, the little gel like frog hand that, you know, a kid would have and would, you know, it would slap it and it would stick to the wall or, you know, the fridge, whatever, and then would come free. That's, I guess, you know, kind of a resemblance of the gel. The gel is called Elastec gel and it's a soy based gel. So yeah, it's non toxic. It doesn't transfer any residue or scent to your baits.
Where did this idea come from? I mean, you know, why did you think the world needed a different kind of tackle box?
Well, so to be completely upfront, I am not the designer or owner of it. We are just I do their marketing and PR. So it came from a company out of Ettrick, Wisconsin, and their primary use of the gel is in horse riding saddles. And so they've taken that technology and that product, and about last November of 2017 is when they launched the product, and you know it's in Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Gander Outdoors, Dick's, and so yeah, the retailers are, you know, really pleased with it, and the consumers have really, you know, kind of like to your point, they've seen a tackle box from, you know, ever since they got into fishing, and it's been just that, a plastic, you know, a tackle box and
standard,
really,
yep.
Standard tackle box, and it's where, you know, we're turning the tackle stores world upside down, literally, because like as Ron was saying, you can put your baits in the case and turn it upside down and they will not fall out
and they'll move. Well, Glenn, before we say goodbye, for our listeners, if they want to see this online or whatever, where would they go?
The easiest way would be on our website. It's lurelock.com, so LURELOCK.com. And again, yeah, it's in all the major retailers, Tackle Warehouse, Academy Sports, will be soon in Dick's Field and Stream. So, yeah, I mean, but again, lurelock.com. And, you know, we work with some great pro anglers, including Minnesota's Seth Fighter. So, you know, wishing all of our guys the best of luck this week down on La Crosse for the Elite Series. And, yeah, just check us out. We'd if you have any questions, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and on our website.
What's the price point on that?
So the cases come in three sizes, a small, medium, and large, and then they're $16, $18, and $20, respectively.
Well, thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Glenn. I've just was fishing with Seth down in Mississippi for a fundraiser Saturday, so...
Okay, great.
He's set to go. Thank you for joining us.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Glenn Walker.
Lurelock.com.
Speaking of Wisconsin, what do you think about this elk herd they're managing there and how they're trying to go about it? And
well, certainly different from Minnesota.
Yeah, a lot different. What do you think?
Well, it'd be nice if Minnesota would have more than their management primarily consists of a cap on how many elk we can have in this state.
And very few permits.
Yeah, but it's a different situation. Their elk are not roaming wheat fields and oat fields in northwest Minnesota, and I don't blame landowners up there for howling about, because elk have a habit of going out in those fields and not only eating but laying down and trampling.
And elk has to eat, you know.
Yeah, I know. So,
but in Wisconsin, there's enough pure woods that they can keep them in that.
Well, they don't keep them. They're free roaming.
They're free roaming, but I mean, yeah. They've got enough segments that aren't agricultural based. That
apparently,
they can...
yeah, apparently. I've not ever seen an elk in Wisconsin. Seen them in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has, of all places, has a very successful elk program. And you say, whoa, What's that all about? Well, elk were native in Pennsylvania at one time.
Really?
As they were.
And so these foothills kind of thing? Or where
yeah,
you
as they were elk were native in Minnesota.
Yeah, you find them at the bottom of Otter Tail Lake.
There you go. So they were a prairie animal at one time, not a mountain animal. So
we just kept pushing them, huh?
Well, we hunted them until the only survivors were in mountains.
That's the only place they could survive. Take a break, come back, live outdoors. Stay with us. Let's continue our Hollis Kavner stories. You've got one that pertains to fishing.
Well, yeah. I've enjoyed your conversation with Hollis because can't remember quite how many years ago, but during the big senior TPC tournament, Hollis, before that, he called me and said, I'd like to have a fun bass fishing tournament on some of the ponds on the golf course. He said, we'll get you and some other.
And he knew there were bass in there?
Yeah, they'll get you and some other fishermen paired with some of the players who like to play, who like to fish as well as play golf. So I said, count me in. And so I got paired with Fuzzy Zeller, who is a hoot, by the way. And oddly enough, I had known him through just happenstance. He came out to Game Fair when he used to play here. And anyway, I knew him, and so he and I took on some other golfers and the Ted Capra, Dean Capras of the Minnesota fishing world, yep, et cetera. And Fuzzy and I almost won it. We got second place, although I got largest bass, a 6-pounder. But it was a fun deal because you'd fish a pond. You had so many minutes to fish the pond, then you had to get in your golf cart and go to another pond.
Oh, my golf cart, you go to the next one.
Right,
huh?
So it was like going to the next hole, right?
Poles like your clubs and put in there and go.
Exactly. Instead of golf clubs, you had your fishing rods.
How long were you out there?
A couple hours. And they had a big wing ding, and they had an awards program.
That sounds like fun.
It was. And I don't know why it went away, but Hollis, if you're listening, we should do it again sometime.
Back.
Yeah,
you and I and Glenn Mason had a fun lunch.
We did.
He's a Black Lab lover.
He is, yeah. And we enjoyed. I enjoyed listening to you and he talk about jockstrap stuff and
football stuff.
Football stuff, but we talked a little bit about. He's not real avid outdoor guy, but he's a dog lover.
Yeah, Black Lab specifically, which is your
right. And so we it was fun, and just to make. I want to make this announcement public that Mr. Mike Max picked up the tab.
Why is that such a surprise?
Well, because you're a newspaper guy, a media guy. They never pick up the tabs for anything. I've been with a lot of them.
I surveyed the deal, and I go, if I'm going to get out of here, I'm going to have to pick up the tab. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting here all day because you guys wouldn't even glance at it when they brought it over.
Has Sid ever picked up a tab?
No,
I don't think so.
Yeah, they hand it to me.
I
did comment, and Doc Epping was referenced that it wasn't that big a deal because I got the senior discount for both of you.
Yeah, that was very funny, Max.
That was funny. Oh gosh.
So what's coming up for me? I've got some more fishing I have to do, but this weather's been kind of crazy.
See, I went into I thought they were gone, and ganders are back.
Gander Outdoors.
Yeah, Gander Outdoors, and went and bought a couple rods and reels yesterday, a couple open face with some bass lures, et cetera. And, it's basically the same layout. Have you been in them since?
I have not. No, I've been down to their headquarters.
In fact, it's the exact same layout now that I think about it. Nothing changed, really.
Well, yeah, this I don't know, but they're kind of trying to change their feel, so to speak, and it's a whole different crew in there, and of course, new owners. So.
Okay, so here's my question. If you're fishing around lily pads, what's the best lure to use?
Well,
so you don't catch the lily pads.
You better fish on the surface with an artificial frog and use braided line that's heavy, braided line, because braided line floats. And so you.
I'm not doing so well so far. This is explaining why I lost two lures.
That's why. I mean, lily pads are tough, man. You can't. So
stay away from them if you can. Is what you're saying?
I don't know. Bass love it. Lily pads, but floating frog or artificial frog with the hooks, very weedless, and use braided line because braided line floats. It keeps the frog on the surface. If you use a line that sinks like monofilament, sometimes the frog will want to go down and he'll get hooked on the. So you gotta, Maxie.
I bought a floating frog.
You have to understand this fishing is a lot more complex than you than you.
I'm starting to figure that out,
this
man.
This casual.
And you know I am anti-electronic.
Anti, yeah.
That's just too big a favor to think.
You're anti a lot of stuff when it comes to fishing.
like catching?
Yeah, like catching.
I did get a floating frog, and at the end of it, I bought it for, it was like $3.95, and they gave me a dollar back. And I said, what's the dollar back for the floating frog? And they said, it's a rebate.
That is so clever. Huh? That is so clever.
Yeah, you'll use it in the boat the next time out.
Yeah, I will. I can remember that.
So where are you going fishing this week?
I'm going up to Leech Lake, I think, and see if I can improve my walleye freezer quantity.
Yeah. Memorial was not good for you up there.
No, it was not good. But, you know, that's fishing. So there you go.
Are we out of time?
Yeah, we're out of time.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Ron. I'll have a great – believe me, folks, I'll come back with a good 8 o'clock hour. Stay with us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.